Hello and welcome to this week's More Than A Podcast, the only rugby podcast that gives you the news, views and opinion on the weekend's rugby action, all with a West Country accent. You can find us on Twitter. We are at More Than A Podcast. We are More Than A Rugby Podcast on Facebook, although we don't really post too much there. You can find all of our content on Anchor, as well as Apple Podcasts and loads of other podcatchers, but you'll know that already if you if you're already listening to this. Bit different this week. It's just me and Doug. Good evening, mate. How are you doing?
Hi, mate. Sorry if I sound a bit ropey. I'm just speaking into my Mac at the moment. All my podcast gear is in a different place, so
nah, mate. It sounds absolutely adequate. It's as I say, it's just me and Doug tonight. We've not done anything for a couple of weeks since the success that was Ryan Axe Wine Racks and our pod that we did on the breaking news of Saracens and the rugby business. And I wanted to thank everyone that got back to us on that. Genuinely, you know, I want to thank James and Ali that were on the podcast with us. James, obviously from Rugby Saracens, who
still hasn't answered the question.
the question's been asked many, many times. And it was a bit like that leadership debate last night that I watched a little bit of. That was almost James trying to answer your question. But some of the feedback that we received was absolutely incredible. And I must say, so from Facebook, from Twitter, Doug, a lot of people said that you epitomised pretty much 90% of every other rugby club fan's view of the whole situation. So... It was great feedback to receive.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people may think I just have it in for Saracens, but, you know, the thing that's really done it for me, like I'd have been happy if they'd have just taken the punishment from the beginning. The thing that did it for me was the sort of arrogance and the just barefaced cheek of everyone to say we've done nothing wrong. It's still winding me up. I listened to the pod for the first time tonight, actually, and it still made my blood boil a little bit. You know, the whole we haven't cheated, we didn't Premiership Rugby. I heard a couple of interesting things along the lines of Premiership Rugby have acknowledged we didn't cheat. That's not actually what they said, because Premiership Rugby would never actually use the words "you cheated."
Yeah.
So, do you know
that,
what I mean?
That was nowhere to go, would it?
Yeah. In a legal framework, they couldn't come out and say "you cheated" because it's definitive and it would be legally negligent to do that. So, the issue I have is that I don't think there's a punishment that would have kept everyone happy. I don't think you can take their titles away, but at the same time,
you take the titles away. What's that going to achieve? It doesn't achieve anything. It doesn't make it...
The one thing that occurred to me after the event, which is I told you that I would likely come up with 1,000 other things I wanted to say to James, but the thing that's now bothering me is that they can make these, set up these businesses as once-off payments.
Yeah.
You know, so in terms of actually having to restructure players' deals or lose players, I don't think they're going to have to, because those payments have been made and they're now historic. So,
well, that's the question we were asking at the time, wasn't it? Around, well, if they were breaking the rules then coming into this season, they're still breaking the rules. And obviously it's become clear now that...
They're not. Because they've set those companies up. That money is now old money.
Absolutely. And that's the point I was making, is that... So they have been found to have been breaking the rules up until that point, but all that has now been dealt with. So whatever is happening now... All that money is been and gone through the books, as it were.
So they've got away with it effectively, because they're not going to get relegated. Well, they'll miss out on the European Cup unless they win it, which I know is probably a long shot now that they've lost to Racing. But they've essentially got away with it.
Yeah, you could argue that, but if they're going to retain their premiership status, which is more than likely they will, I mean, the 35-point deduction leaves them with minus 22 points for this season. And I think the 35 points off last season's total would have given them 10th place, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, they should still comfortably retain, you know, that premiership status, unless at the end of this season they decide to ring fence when Newcastle come up this season. Anyway, can you imagine if Saracens still finish bottom by, for whatever reason that might be? You know, this is probably going to be the closest premiership in history, especially now Saracens are not going to be leading the pack. You know, if they do finish 12th for some, you know, I say inexplicable reason, do you think that that whole ring fencing thing will be bought?
Well, they've promised that there's going to be no ring fencing this year.
So imagine the Saracens at Cornish Pirates and Coventry next year.
I don't think I'd love anything more.
It could happen. What sticks in my throat a little bit is in the statement, they do say, perhaps we have done the wrong thing for the right reasons. In all of their statement, not once did they say, did they apologise?
No.
They say that they've recognised and they have been advised. And it stinks to me. And I was on, I've been on the Love Sport radio a few times during the World Cup and then over the last couple of weeks. And this seems to me is a statement that's been prepared by the media advisory company that they've employed to handle all of their sort of corporate affairs, as it were, and basically say, you know what, the best thing you can do for your public image of Saracens now is come out, accept the fine, accept the points deduction, try and move away from it as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
When before they had employed this company, you know, they were all very against admitting any wrongdoing whatsoever.
Yeah. I don't think there's a satisfactory conclusion, Russ. I think, you know, I've said that already. I don't see there's any way that, like, the fans of the clubs who have been sat by and been calling for this for years, I don't think it's going to be enough. But the Saracens fans are going to think it's too much. So they do seem to live in a parallel universe that I don't really understand, where you can be fined £5 million for something and still not admit you've done it.
Yeah. Or again, apologise to PRL, to their own supporters, to the rugby community in general, for carrying out this level of wrongdoing. You know, if you're going to hold your hands up, hold your hands up and offer a little bit of remorse.
Yeah, that would be nice, but it won't happen.
No, but
I just want James to answer the question.
I think everybody does. There was a lot of smell my cheese, you mother. And answer the questions when in the latest series where he was trying to talk to Emily Maitlis. Answer the question. Fucking love it. I love it. Should we leave this whole Saracens debacle there? Do you reckon?
I could go on for ages. I wanted to talk about Joe Marchant.
Yeah, let's talk about Joe Marchant.
And you know, we have been calling for it for a while, for young English players to go overseas and get some experience. I think it's a very good move. I'm hoping that more players will follow his lead. I'm not sure they will because of salary cap implications, potentially. I mean, how good would George Furbank be in the Super Rugby?
Oh, mate.
You know, ghosting past non-existent defenders and...
Yeah. Yeah, arm tackles.
Yeah, yeah.
Running through hands.
I think this current generation of England players could really have used that. I think players like Chris Robshaw, even Billy Vunipola, certainly our scrum halves, our current crop of scrum halves, could have done with playing behind packs that aren't allowed to compete for the ball. So presenting on silver rats. Platter every single ruck. I think Ben Youngs could have really expanded his game by going and playing in New Zealand for a couple of years or Australia, you know?
Well, I had this discussion. I can't remember who it was with, but for all of his shortcomings as a player, James Haskell benefited immensely from taking a punt. He went to Stade, didn't he, originally? He went to Stade.
Yeah.
And then he played for the Highlanders. Went to Japan. He played for the Highlanders. And then he came back. And, you know, whilst he was never the best rugby player, he was never the best back rower in the world, he was an infinitely better player, I believe, because of the experience that he drew from his time abroad.
Totally.
And
it
never
wasn't very good, but
no, but he maximized every ounce of his potential by doing something like that. And it just seems to me that there's such a reluctance. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's just a little bit insular of English or British players in general, you know, or you include the Irish guys in that, where they say, "Oh, I don't need to go elsewhere because I can get everything I need here." Yeah. And doing what Quinns have done with Joe Marchant and allowing this to happen, you know, what? Imagine the favour being returned by the Blues and Riku Ioane coming to play for Harlequins or whatever at some point, you know? Yeah. Those kind of relationships, I think, could only benefit not just the English players, but world rugby in general.
Absolutely. I think the non-selection of overseas players, while on the face of it seems a good thing, I think is actually detrimental to the England side. I think the restriction of experience and personal growth and, you know, a little bit of personal liberty for these players to make their own choices, it would actually be quite a good thing for the sport in general. And for the British game in general, because you get these players that could move overseas for a while and it would bring another crop of youngsters through. But I mean, I guess the thing that really prevents players coming from the UK to England is, or from the UK to New Zealand, is the money difference. I'm not sure what the difference would be, but someone that's playing in New Zealand, I don't think would get anywhere near the money that, unless you're an All Black, I don't think they're going to get anywhere near the cash that you're getting playing for Worcester or someone like that, are you? You know?
No, absolutely. But if you run a sort of a cyclic view of it and said, well, if you had to, let's say, I mean, Joe Marchant's 23 and it feels like he's been around for a little while.
Yeah.
He was on the fringes of the World Cup squad. He goes and plays a season, two seasons of Super Rugby, potentially. He signed a new contract with Harlequins. The investment in that means Harlequins are going to get back. Injury, you know, fingers crossed, injury aside, Harlequins are going to get back a much better rugby player than when he left, because he would be that much more experienced. Now, what other rugby club, you know, your Worcesters, your Northampton Saints, like you mentioned George Furbank there, you know, Alex Mitchell, Fraser Dingwall. You look at some of the Exeter guys that have come through and been very successful. But imagine during their progression, if they'd gone and spent a significant amount of time playing Super Rugby, how much better that would benefit England, Scotland, Ireland, whoever. Mm. My only question is, how interested are Super Rugby in our youngsters? When I think even like Mitre 10.
Well, listen, mate, great... you say that, but Jeff Parlin walked straight into Super Rugby when he was pretty much washed, you know, Why wouldn't they want young, exciting players?
It's a good point. It's a good question. And the like you say, the likes of Furbank, Marchant. I'm trying to think of some other examples now. Imagine Thokonosiga or Thorley or McConaughey. Now is a prime time for those guys to potentially explore the same sort of thing.
Absolutely. The other thing, this deal could be is another fancy way of doing the salary cap. So if Marchant signed a contract with Quins, they then release him for that contract for 6 months to 2 years. He then gets paid by the Blues as well.
Yeah.
It keeps him, you know, double bubble, basically.
Do you think Harlequins would then continue to, I mean, obviously depending on the ins and outs of the contract, but would they continue to pay him whilst the Blues were paying him? Do you think it'd be on a retainer?
Could it be that he got a large signing bonus and then is now getting paid by the Blues? So for this year, he's earning whatever he's earning. You know, I don't know.
And like you say, that contract as such, he signed a new contract now when the season's just started that says, okay, this is what we're going to do for next season. So they're already planning the next season's salary cap to be able to do something different.
Yeah, I think
it does make you think, doesn't it?
I also think it, you know, the heart of it is a good thing. Look at Piers Francis, he went away a Bedford player and came back in England international.
Yeah, exactly that.
So I don't think it in any way would be a bad thing. And I think a lot of young lads will be looking at that going, I fancy a bit of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And like you say, you know, if it is or even thought upon a fancy way of working the salary cap to a certain extent, you know, actually, the guy's still playing rugby. It's a rugby-related decision. You're not investing in a Cayman Islands investment business or you know, some sort of consultancy that doesn't exist. It's just, you know, you're going away to play rugby, to learn your trade, to come back a better player, to invest that again in the club.
Absolutely.
Fair play to him, though. It's a brave old move, and you know, one that's going to no doubt benefit him because,
you know, well, he's going to be playing Bowden and Barrett every week.
Inside Juani and outside Juani, and no, inside Juani and outside Barrett.
Maybe. Yeah, you could argue that he's had a step down at fly half.
Marcus Smith to Bowden and Barrett.
Yeah. If there was ever a player that would do all right in Super Rugby, Marcus Smith. Man.
Yeah, agreed. He is a very good player. I just wanted to go back very quickly. When we did the last episode, we introduced a hashtag called Rugby Business. Did you see many of those rugby businesses?
I saw a few. Yeah.
So
nothing beats Winex Rhinerack. So.
Rhinex, I almost wanted to expand that a little bit further, sort of Rhinex luxury wine racks. I think it was just the fact that it just appeared in my brain out of nowhere. Ben used this, Sinclair Sprinklers, so garden watering business. We had Marlon's Yards, landscape gardener. Dan Bridges, who suggested Gerbrand Grobler, expert cobbler, as well as Creels on Wheels, Jack and Creels on Wheels. Obviously, you came up with Dave Ribbons, Rave Ribbons, which was exceptional. What else did we have? We had Faf's Spaffs, which was a sperm donor company from Faf de Klerk, which was from Matt. At Shanghai, one of our long-time listeners, who also came up with George's Fur Bank, which George Fur Bank runs an illegal fur amnesty drop-off point. not so much a business, but a good one to come up with. George's Cruises, a not so impartial travel company. What else did we have? Obviously, the one we forgot were Burgers. That was straight from Saracens. They could have had both of those.
Well, Burgers was one of the original rugby.
Yeah, idea for a show.
Rugby content, wasn't it?
Yeah. Rugby content. But we did get a lot. We did get a lot of suggestions. So thank you to everyone that tweeted in with that. It was something that really gained a bit of momentum. It might have been half trending for a little bit. One of my favourites, Jim Rugby Betting, says that Rodney RU and Shout Brit surprisingly team up to police a post-Brexit Britain. which is very niche, but I like it. I like it a lot. So if you do come up with any more, it's hashtag rugby business. Nathan Katz hats.
I mean, we're just essentially just rhyming now, aren't we?
Yeah, but that's good. Jackson Ray's wax and spray. Which either could be a car valeting company or a beauty and tanning parlor. So let's leave those there. This weekend was the first weekend of the European rugby, Doug. I know you were at the darts. You've been at the
I saw the
Grand Slam of Darts, was it?
The Grand Slam of Darts. Gerwyn Price defended his title.
I saw him beat Michael Van Gerwen.
Yeah,
unfortunate for the big bowl baby. For the big bowl baby. If only you could grow a beard.
One of the hardest people to operate a camera on in the world.
Really?
There's no hard edges on him, so you can't quite focus. Everything just looks out of focus when you're looking at him.
There's no hard edges.
There isn't.
On Michael Van Gerwen.
See, when it's impossible to find focus on Michael Van Gerwen, I promise.
Okay, so maybe you should grow a beard or a moustache or something just to.
I mean, I don't think he's capable. He's smooth.
Smooth to the touch.
I watched... what did I watch? I watched some. I watched a bit of Sale Glasgow today. I watched most of Northampton against Lyon. I watched some of Sarri's Racing. I watched a fair bit.
Good. Well, it all kicked off on Friday night. Joe Simpson versus Toulouse. And Toulouse looked very, very good. I've got to give them that. They will be, as always, an absolute powerhouse in this year's competition, which I've no doubt will be dominated by French sides and Leinster, I'd imagine, predictably. But Toulouse on Friday night, it started really slowly. But having said that, two... basically length of the field tries from Joe Simpson in the first 20 minutes really caught them off guard. What Gloucester failed to do was kind of really put the game away. Toulouse just kept eating back at them. There was a lot of niggly penalties. Who's the Welsh? It was Ben Whitehouse, who is modern day Steve Walsh.
Yeah.
Just a bit podgier and less attractive.
That's a matter of opinion.
I suppose it is, but that's my opinion. It's hard to know to say too much about the game in general because it was kind of masked a little bit by those two Simpson tries, which I think flattered Gloucester a little bit because, you know, without those, the score would have been a lot more convincing than what it was.
I mean, I guess it, you know, if you're looking at it realistically, they being Toulouse should be battering Gloucester.
Yeah, absolutely.
A Gloucester side still without a few South Africans to come back. Without Willie Hines, who's quite an important player for them. They didn't surprise me at all, really. One thing that stood out for me this weekend was the players are just getting so gobby, aren't they?
Yeah.
Did you see the I was watching Glasgow Sale today and the Glasgow scrum half horn. It was embarrassing the way he was going on. And he got told to stop three or four times by the referee, but, you know, no action. Something's got to be done about it, because it's becoming a little bit embarrassing for the game, I think.
Well, especially as you can hear it all over the microphone.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, when you can hear, so I mean, scrum halves are chirpsy at the best of times, but when it's broadcast over television and you can hear every single word that they're saying, it's going to put a lot of people off and it's going to wind a lot of people up. I mean, you're a scrum half, you know.
Yeah, but I think, you know, once you get told, right, that's enough, that needs to be enough, you know, and I don't think the referees are following through on it. To me, it's worse than the high, like, I'd rather get rid of that than the high tackles.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Well,
yeah, let's not.
Because that's something that you can see, it's something that's a controllable outcome. So you make the conscious decision to gob off at a referee. A lot of times you don't make a conscious decision to tackle someone high. It just, it's, you know, an accident.
It's
never an accident gobbing off.
It's an easy fix as well, isn't it? Or the referee, the first time he does it, it's a warning. The second time, it's a yellow card.
Yeah.
Or sorry, the first time it's captain, sort him out.
Yeah, your second team got time, a warning.
Yeah, second time, yellow card.
Yeah.
It will stop pretty soon.
And you hear it every breakdown. It's holding on, holding, you know. Offside, it's too much. It's too much now.
It's hard to know where it's coming from a lot of the time. But in that instance, like with Peter Horn for Glasgow. Peter Horn? Is it Peter Horn?
I think so, yeah. There's two. There's a fly half and a scrum half.
Okay, I reckon the scrum half is not Peter. I think Peter's the centre,
right?
But either way, George Horn, yeah. But when it's like that, when it's a scrum half at the back of a ruck, talking to the referee like that, that's when you can give a warning, and that's when you can give a card. I think the more you imply that, I think it would just send the shockwaves through, and it would stop everybody else doing it and just let the referee start to referee again.
Yeah.
Saturday's games, Bath Ulster was on Channel 4. Decent game at the Rec. Ulster getting home with a good try. John Cooney, who looks like he's putting himself in a decent position for whose job? The other guy, Conor Murray's job. He looks a very good player, John Cooney.
Yeah, he's been there or thereabouts, hasn't he? But there seems Ulster players seem to have to play that much better to get into the Ireland side than.
Yeah.
How many Leinster scrum halves went to the World Cup?
Too many.
Yeah, I think two of them went, didn't they? Because it was
and so many I can't even name them.
Yeah, and Marmion didn't. Weird.
Yeah. But
he's a very good player. A very good player.
And you mentioned Marmion there. He was mooted to be going to Saracens, wasn't he? But he's just been signed up to the IRFU again. So that's not happening anymore. But
what are you banging around on your desk?
Am I banging around? Am I?
Yeah. Are you tapping something or rolling something around?
No. Try not to. Sorry about that. Sorry if you've heard that, listeners.
Sorry, everyone.
The big result, actually, from Saturday, when you look at it, obviously, Leinster beat Benetton at home, which you'd expect. Claremont destroyed Harlequins again. They weren't in the Champions
League. That's the other game I watched, sorry.
Harlequins and Claremont and Harlequins?
Yeah.
They're good, aren't they, Claremont?
Claremont are very good. Tom Lauday.
Yeah, former Exeter back row.
He's exceptional. Very good player. Best player for Harlequins for me, by far.
It seems a strange one, but maybe the wealth of talent Exeter had at their disposal in the back row meant that he wanted to just go somewhere and find some more regular game time.
Yeah, I understand it, but I would have thought that he would be cheaper than keeping, for example,
an older Armand
or Kvesic, you know. those kind of players. I would have thought he would have he'd have been the one they want to keep. But
well, it's a strange one, isn't it, for Exeter? But that does bring us all nicely to Exeter, who have historically struggled a little bit in Europe. Who went to La Rochelle and handed them a bit of a beatdown, which I don't think many people were expecting. Tactical kicking, forward intensity, you know, they beat them 31-12 in La Rochelle, really setting themselves up nicely in that pool.
Yeah, I mean, it's about time that they smash someone in Europe. You know, I'd like to see them kick on from that. Hopefully we can get Exeter in the knockout phase and see how far they can go.
Yeah.
I think it's telling that their premiership form isn't quite what it should be.
Yeah.
But they've gone to La Rochelle and pasted them.
Well, yeah. I think they bought a few back in, didn't they? Henry Slade, who did play against Bristol the other week when they lost. Vermeulen seems to be a very shrewd signing. Nick White has been back in, but yet the stalwarts are there, the Jack Yeandals, and obviously Jack Yeandal, Harry Williams,
Jack Yeandal.
Yeah, for those of you that have never heard that before, when we were in the Premiership final a couple of years ago, Doug, Ben, and I inadvertently called Jack Yeandal Jack Yeandal for absolutely no apparent reason. And that seems to have stuck a little bit. They obviously welcome back Sam Simmons as well, who is massive for them. And like we mentioned, their strength in depth in the back row, you know, a back row of Simmons, Vermeulen and Ewers. They had Armand on the bench and no Kvesic even in the squad. So, you know, there's plenty going on at Exeter. And yeah, fingers crossed that they can progress. Munster beat the Ospreys. I mean, Welsh provincial rugby is absolutely gash anyway, isn't it? So let's who cares? Yeah, let's not go too far into that. Semi-surprising result on Sunday is Connacht beat Montpellier 23-20. I didn't see the game, so I can't talk too much about it. But you'd think that was a slightly surprising result, given the players Montpellier have got at their disposal. And also Northampton beating Lyon, not just beating Lyon, Doug, keeping up their excellent start to the season. And Lyon are top of the Pro 14, top of the top 14 at the moment, and beating teams left, right and centre. Yet they go to the Gardens and get their asses handed to them.
Well, they didn't get their asses handed to them. Boyd was particularly unhappy with certain elements of our game. I think the scrum is a massive worry. Seems to go backwards. There was one scrum where Lewis Ludlam was packing down and Lyon got a shove on, and it was like he was on ice going backwards. Like his legs were fully extended behind him, but he was just sliding backwards. It's like, we've got to sort that out, because we can run the ball all we like, but we're not going to beat teams in knockout rugby if we can't scrummage.
So who was it? Hayward, Painter and Waller in the front row?
Yeah, and then, I mean, Franks came on and won a couple of penalties from the scrum after that. But, you know, it is a concern.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be. If you can't secure a ball on your own set of piece, you think how many scrums there are a game. But you did mention there the exciting youth. The back line, Collins, Furbank, Dingwall didn't play, did he?
No.
But it was it Francis? Francis and Hutchinson? Oh, Hutchinson. Yeah, Hutchinson. Yeah. He's very good, isn't he?
Yeah.
How did he not go to the World Cup?
Because Scotland knew better.
Well, clearly they did. lots of people are raving about Rory Hutchinson. He's a very good player. We need to be considering him for the Scotland side, for the Six Nations, no doubt.
Yeah. Which is great news for us.
Well, at least you'd have all your young English players available and your South Africans.
Yeah. You know.
Jacoba's Rheinbrachs, Weinbrachs, and Ribbons.
He can get
Ribbons,
some time Ribbons. Off. The boss will sort him out some time off. Have you seen the thing that Canterbury have re-signed to deck out the Lions for the 2021 tour?
No.
And they're doing a thing whereby any club that has produced a Lion will get a special Canterbury kit made.
Oh, wow.
Lions origin kits. I saw it on Rugby Shirt Watch.
Yeah.
Which is run by Josh Gardner of Blood and Mud. Sorry, I'm getting a phone call. Look who it's from.
No way. Yeah. And Andy Hose. So for the, well, it's very, very niche. But there you go.
I have to decline it. Sorry, Uncle Holmes. I'll call you back.
Quite a classic podcast. But Uncle Holmes, well, there you go. That's a blast from the past.
Yeah. He's probably pissed. Yeah, so you get the Canterbury are saying any club that produced a Lion can get a specially made kit with Lions origin.
Wow.
Stuff done to it, which I think is pretty cool, and also a way of Canterbury rinsing some money out of unsuspecting fans.
Well, I can imagine there'll be a fair few Penzance Newlyn people with a Lions top.
So if you do know of a club or you're part of a club that has produced a British and Irish Lion, I would put your committee onto Canterbury because you could get your first team a free kit.
Whoa. Pirates amateurs, love it. That's good. That's real good. I mean, I like it from Canterbury. It's an absolutely, you know, genius commercial exercise, isn't it?
Yeah.
I saw you saw a shirt, an old Saracen shirt today, didn't you? Just go back to Saracens. Talking about poking the bear.
I could not resist it, mate.
It's too good.
Yeah, I may have made a joke about Canterbury, Saracens releasing a kit that was something to do with their first ever, what was it? First ever game against Harlequins or something.
And 1912 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I may or may not have commented that that was the last time they complied with salary cap regulations.
Just touching on Saracens, we've not spoken about them this evening. First of all, the racing stadium is somewhere else, isn't it? Have you ever worked there?
Yeah, it's a fucking building, man. Who cares? It's only got three sides. Let's relax a bit.
It was almost like the bloody Super Bowl.
Mate, it's got a plastic pitch, three sides, and a big telly. It's a stadium.
Fair enough. You've worked there and you've been there and oh, you haven't.
No.
Just don't get hard on for it. Like,
just don't
other
get
people.
A boner for stadiums, mate.
You spend your life in them, though. To be fair,
big empty buildings with seats in. And not enough leg room.
Oh, mate. Fair enough. But Saracens got beat pretty convincingly. The team they put out, you know, it had some Lions in it, had a couple of World Cup stars in it. But on the whole, it was, we're going to mail this in this season, isn't it?
Maybe.
I mean, to be fair, that even that side, the side that Saracens power, I reckon even Saracens youth side will pump Munster. Ospreys, not Munster. Yeah, they'll pump the Ospreys.
Yeah. I'm just trying to find the Saracens team because I'm already a couple of weeks into this Saracens debacle. I'm already getting a bit bored of the look how young our side is.
So
Maitland, Lazowski, Tompkins, Vunipola, Spencer, Skelton. Singleton, Lamisatelli, Skelton, Ezekwe, Earl and Ray, with Joe Gray, Vincent Cock, Joel Kapoku, and Damian Williamson and Duncan Taylor on the bench. So, yeah, it must have been a nightmare for you, Saracens, to have only the 13 internationals in your team this week. You know, Cry me a bloody river.
Let's not talk anymore about Saracens.
Russ, am I wrong?
You're not wrong, no. And I wouldn't tell you so.
They were missing George, Itoje, Farrell,
Billy,
and the other Villapola. So I mean, five players.
Macko, yeah.
You know, I mean, come on. It's not like you're having to get guest players in, is it?
No, that'll probably be later in the season.
Like A-League games.
Yeah, like when they bought Christian Judge in last season.
Yeah.
Because they were lacking front row options. Anyway.
It's boiling my piss.
Bloody Saracens. Let's leave Saracens there.
Yeah.
We've
just wish they'd bugger off. Oh, don't be too hard on us. We only cheated for 5 years.
Oh, mate.
Oh, we're always in hospitals telling all the poorly people they're all right.
Jesus. Oh, on that note.
And we've got a wheelchair rugby team. And a girls' team. Oh, sorry, women's.
Ladies.
Late.
Women's. Is it women's rugby or late? No, it's women's rugby, isn't it?
Isn't it the same thing?
I would have thought so, but semantics, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
there are, and there have been semantics.
There have been semantics in Saracens. this weekend, more Champions Cup, Ulster versus Claremont. We've got on Saturday the English sides. Northampton are going to Italy to take on Benetton.
I'll be there.
Are you working there?
Yeah.
Get all the best jobs. Saracens Ospreys. I mean, Saracens could put out the under-14s and pump the Ospreys, I think. Toulouse-Connacht, Exeter versus Glasgow, which I think will probably be, for me, the game of the weekend, not just because I follow Exeter. Lyon-Leinster, which also has potential. Quins versus Bath and Munster versus Racing.
Anyone interested in Quins v Bath in the Champions Cup? No, didn't think so.
And, old Munster travelled, Racing's via Neunzig, travel to Munster. On Sunday, we have Sale versus La Rochelle and Montpellier versus Gloucester. So go well to all the English teams. Everyone else, not except too bothered. Except Saracens. Any other rugby-related stuff you want to talk about, mate?
No.
No. Any other business-type stuff you want to talk about?
Why don't you go first?
So there's a few things to any other business about, one of which is quite sad, but I've talked about that on other podcasts, so I don't really want to get into it other than a friend through podcasting and American football lost a battle of cancer. Unfortunately, that's really sad. And, you know, left behind a young family, diagnosed and deceased within approximately 2 weeks, which is just fucking mental. So make sure if you're feeling ill, if you're not too sure, go and get yourself checked out, because you're better off knowing, better to be safe than sorry than with what's going on with your health. So don't take any risks. But I will talk about manager sackings in football. My follow Tottenham Hotspur, and they sacked their manager last night, who, you know, they're not doing very well this season, but he's led them to the Champions League final, did lots of different things, and they replaced him with Jose fucking Mourinho because he's won some stuff. Not remembering leaving behind absolute fucking trails of devastation when he left Chelsea. Man United the same. You know, Chelsea are pretty much only just recovering now, getting back to the sort of the heights they were at. And it just makes you wonder what, you know, it's a business, isn't it? It's commercial, it's results, and nothing else matters other than results. And it's just, you know, you should be used to it by now, or I should be used to it by now, but just not used to it. And it's bullshit, really, I think.
Yeah, as I said to James last week, when he mentioned that Saracens is a business. It's a business to everyone except the fans.
Yeah. The fans care. We care.
Well, to say, you know, I think the people that are running the business care. They care about the business. They don't care about the fans.
No, but the fans are the ones that come through the turnstiles and buy the kits. And
yeah, which, you know, it's a bit of a misnomer now to say that sports teams are, you know, only there because of the people that go through the turnstiles. That's now, you know.
It's a byproduct.
Yeah, that's now, like, the game would continue if no one went to the stadium because of all that advertising and television money. Like, the game doesn't need people to go and watch anymore. But when decisions like what happened with Pochettino are made, it's not really any way out of it.
No.
You know,
What wound me up even more about this whole situation was people like whinging and moaning about sacking Pochettino last night and saying, oh, you know, all the rumours about Jose and they're all going, oh, like Twitter was awash with fucking morons as per usual. Oh, fucking Jose this, Jose that. And I've seen the same people tweet this morning, oh, on reflection, I think it's the right thing for the club and Jose's a good appointment. I'm like, the fuck are you smoking, mate? You know, it just, you've changed your tune in 12 hours or less than 12 hours because you're being swayed by what people on Sky Sports News and the pundits are saying. Fucking grow a set.
Yeah. I honestly don't think Mourinho is a bad manager. I don't think he was backed at Man United. He does have a proven track record of winning wherever he's gone. I think the problem for Spurs fans is that he may win stuff, but he's not going to move you forward.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like winning, but standing still.
Yeah. I also don't like the fact that it was seemingly pretty much a done deal before Pochettino had left. And again, but naivety.
If you're Daniel Levy, what are you going to do?
Yeah, no, I understand.
You know Mourinho's sitting on the set of Super Sunday and you've just sacked your manager.
Yeah, what? No, I get
what's
it.
What's the alternative?
It's a business decision. It's a business decision, isn't it?
Yeah, can you afford Eddie Howe to come in and take 3 years to get to the same position that Pochettino's at? Also, you don't know. Like, I think I text your, you know, I spoke to you yesterday about how it's actually, I think, potentially less about the results and more about what's going to happen in January. I think there's potentially something going on along the lines of Pochettino wanted some cash, they wouldn't give it to him, or Pochettino wanted to keep a player that they didn't want to keep because they've had a good offer. I think there'll be some kind of political power struggle in the club.
Yeah.
And unfortunately for Pochettino, when you're run by a conglomerate like Enoch, who see results in numbers, I think that Levy has outperformed Pochettino in that regard. Tottenham have a solvent. They make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that's the bottom line for a company like Enoch.
It's funny, isn't it? Because people spent years mocking Arsenal when they built the Emirates about, you know, paying for the stadium, breaking even, not spending a lot of money, you know, sneaking into the Champions League, finishing fourth and just doing it consistently. That's what Spurs have been doing for the last 3 years, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, there's only the only teams that can compete now are Chelsea, City and Liverpool. I don't really know how Liverpool are doing it. Well, I do. I think Liverpool have got the most exceptional manager in world football. But I think the day he goes, that'll be the end of Liverpool.
Yeah.
Because they can't compete financially with City and Chelsea.
No. And United, to a certain extent.
Well, no, United can't either. They can't compete with the spending power of...
Compete with City because it's not ready cash, is it?
No.
But it's the bigger business picture, I suppose. But, yeah. Anyway, enough.
Anyway, what I'd give for Northampton to have, you know, the money from the sale of Harry Kane.
Yeah.
You know, could put another tier on Franklin's Gardens so that no one had seen.
Mate, when you start winning stuff again, because Chris Boyd has turned shit around, like he already has.
Mate, we've expanded the gardens to the point where we can't fill it.
And then what's worse, having stadium of empty seats or having a stadium?
It's not a lot of empty seats, but it's unsightly because the gardens was always heaving.
Yeah.
But there you go.
There you go. What's your? Have you got any other anything you want to chat about?
Well, I watched season 3 of The Crown today.
What's The Crown?
It's the Netflix show about the royal family.
All right.
It's bloody brilliant.
Is it? But is it actually about the royal family?
Well, it's like a dramatization of British history, really, more so than just the royal family. It's sort of, so for example, in series 3, there's an episode about what's the name? There's a Welsh village, a Welsh mining village in the 60s that got a school got buried underneath.
Oh, yeah, the slag heap thing?
Yeah, Renfan or something like that. There's an episode about the miners' strikes. There's an episode about...
Is there an episode about a princess getting murdered in a tunnel?
That's coming up in series 4, I believe.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So they're, you know, it's very good for sort of intertwining historical British events. It's just an incredibly made piece of television. The sets and the costumes, and if you're a fan of television, it's worth watching just for the production values alone. It's incredibly well made, but cool. It's also, you know, for someone that likes a bit of history, it is quite good as well.
I'll look forward to the episode of one of the Queen's sons going to parties that aren't parties or not being able to. And that was another one of fucking answer.
Listen,
the question.
Rush, you took an oath to that woman.
Yeah, but I didn't take an oath to one of her sons. Have you seen the Venn diagram that's floating around?
No.
That's the middle of the Venn diagram is things that have gone to shit since Fergie left, which is Prince Andrew, Black Eyed Peas, and Manchester United. which is very
Argue Glasgow Rangers.
You could argue that. Well, not certainly not Barry.
Yeah, so there was that, and I went to Topgolf last night.
How? I've never been to a Topgolf. I want to go to a Topgolf.
I'm sure we went to Topgolf in Watford when we were both.
Mate, I never went to Topgolf in Watford.
I popped my nose into Bentley Priory as well.
Well, it's not there anymore, is it? Just the housing estate.
See the gaff where the old guard room used to stand.
Oh, really?
What, yeah, on the you way know that football pitch behind the main guardhouse? That's now a fucking huge house.
Amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, well, that's by the by. Yeah, Topgolf, really good fun. But I went down afterwards and they've got one of those picker machines, you know, the ones where you sort of move it up and across.
Oh, yeah, the grabbers.
Yeah. I had a pound, so I popped a pound in. Was promptly told no one ever wins on those things. First grab, mate. Now it comes.
What did you win?
A Bo Peep doll from Toy Story 4.
Lovely stuff.
So, first time I've ever seen that happen as well. So if you do see those grabber machines, it is possible to get stuff out of them.
They're rigged though, 100%.
Well, they're not. I literally got something out of one last night.
Yeah, but they are rigged in general. It's not a winner every time, is it?
Well, what is? Won't be much of a. Where's the value in producing the machines if you win a 12 quid doll every time you put 50p in?
That's not a 12 quid doll either.
It is. It's a genuine like Toy Story 4. You know the ones you get from the Disney shop.
Amazing. Now we're just chatting about life on a podcast. Yeah. Maybe we ought to just change, like talk a little bit of rugby and then just loads of other random life stuff.
I'm game if you are.
I'll talk about anything to anyone, whenever.
And the last one was there's a line in Happy Gilmore where Happy Gilmore says to his mate, I was the only person on my team or in the league that got suspended for taking my skate off and trying to stab someone with it. happened in the NFL last week.
I did. Miles Garrett.
Yeah. Took his helmet off and tried to break someone's head with it.
No, didn't he take the quarterback's helmet? He took Mason Rudolph's helmet off.
Yeah.
And
tried to cave his skull in with it.
Yeah. So with his own helmet.
Yeah. tried to bludgeon an opposition quarterback to death with their own helmet.
And for those who don't know, Mason Rudolph's basically a child as well. So, yeah, add a bit of child abuse to that. Mate.
And one last thing, Russ. We're heading into week 12 and 13 of our main fantasy football league. And it's squeaky bum time, isn't it?
It certainly is.
I'm a game back. Mate, you, Craig, and my mate, Neil.
I beat Neil this week.
Yeah.
And he needed 5 points from Damian Williams. Yeah. He didn't get them.
I traded for a player, left him on my bench, and if I'd started him, I'd have won.
Oh, shit happens. Yeah. There you go. Right, we're going to go because this is just chatter. On that note, mate, it's been a pleasure. We are going to be back regular Monday nights, maybe not from next week because I've got a shitty golf meeting, but we'll be back.
Oh.
I know, yeah. Told you that before. You Ben and Phil.
Golf wanker.
You, Ben and Phil can do it if you want. That's fine. I'll leave it to you, boys.
I'll try and corral them because, yes, Monday nights. We need to get back to doing Monday nights. We owe it to the people. Give the people what they want.
We do owe it to the people, and the people have said they've missed us. And then some people said, you do it for free. It's a free podcast. Don't worry about it. Don't apologise to us. I'm like, that's nice. But
you've got to give the people what they want, mate. And what the people want is bang average rugby chat and a load of stuff about our own lives.
Escapism. Mate, I love it. Thanks for joining me, and it's a pleasure as always. I'll speak to you soon. Go well.